Tim Nill. I am the Director of Market Development at Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council in Mankato, Minnesota.
Kim, tell me what was behind a recent visit from a group of Australians that wanted to come and learn more about, I assume, soybean production in the upper Midwest.
Right. We were recently contacted by an organization known as Soy Australia, and it's basically the major association of Australia's soybean growers. And I personally have had a relationship with this organization for about a dozen years in my former capacity working down at the national soy organization, that being the U.S. Soybean Export Council. I had actually gone over to Australia several times about a decade ago when, you will recall, a number of nations were setting up restrictive laws and things around the world trying to keep out so-called GMOs, in other words, biotech soybeans. We were very concerned about that. We worked with this group, and today Australia has a very good regime in place as far as allowing the import of both types of soybeans, both the biotech ones and then the non-biotech ones as well. So I was pleased when they contacted us. They actually were coming to the U.S. mainly for two events where they're going to learn about strip tillage practices, one in South Dakota, one in Iowa, but they were coming through the Mankato area, so we were happy to host them for a day.
So the benefits of a visit like this, I would imagine, are twofold. One, it's going to empower the representatives from Australia to see some of our practices, and maybe there are some takeaways for them, but also it allows them to see how soybeans are produced in the U.S., the sustainability message probably, since it's a strip-till system, and so kind of promoting soybean production in the U.S. and what farmers are really striving to do to become efficient, but also to benefit the environment. Would you say those are some of the most valuable takeaways?
Yes, very much so. Again, as I mentioned, the U.S. Soybean Export Council, the overseas arm for U.S. soybean farmers, has long put forth the sustainability message. We have a great story to tell as a result of the conservation programs promoted by USDA and other organizations in the U.S. Have a 98% plus, take up of that on U.S. soybean producing acres. So we have a wonderful sustainability message to put out there. And from literature distributed by the U.S. Soybean Export Council to, on the other hand, these personal visits by overseas organizations, we're working very hard to get that message out there. And it helps us, again, promoting U.S. soybean exports to those countries. Now, Australia grows very few soybeans, so it's not like they're a competitor or anything. They just grow a trivial amount. But every year, Australia is a reliable importer of approximately 400,000 tons of soybeans. And if we're successful, we get the majority of those sales.
The primary competition coming from South America, then, I would assume?
Right. If we're going to have any competitors at all as far as sending soybeans to Australia, it would be Argentina or Brazil. Thank goodness Argentina this year had severe supply problems due to a major drought they had there. So this, again, is the year, if any, where we're going to pick up market share in places like Australia.
And certainly with your background at USEC, Kim, following these trade negotiations and what's happened, say, with China or the renegotiation of NAFTA, also the European Union, I haven't heard much, if any, talk about Australia and the Trump administration trying to level the playing field with Australians. What can you tell us about the current trade relationship and if there are some barriers that you'd like to see overcome?
Okay, in Australia, we've long had great access. Until maybe 7 years ago, we were literally the only supplier to Australia because they had very tight what are called phytosanitary rules. They were worried about introducing some of the plant diseases from South America into Australia. Anyway, since that time, the South Americans had finally, you know, tightened up their processing, et cetera, that they could credibly say they weren't transmitting diseases. So they, if you will, were added to the list of potential suppliers to Australia. But we've long had great access ourselves, so I'm guessing that's why you haven't heard anything about any restrictions to getting in down there. Another reason we really value, again, the tonnage shipped to Australia is it gives us a model to point to. You know, both U.S. government officials or soybean growers, when they travel there under the auspices of USEC, can point to Australia and say, look, you know, to any other country that's has or is thinking of restrictions, you should be like the Australians. Look, they're prospering from free trade. They're doing well with access. Don't go down the road of, you know, trade disputes. So it's been a useful tool for that as well.
And I can certainly look this up if you're not sure off the top of your head. You know the export total, but where would Australia rank as far as an importer of U.S. soybeans, Kim? Do you know the number?
Oh, they definitely don't appear in the top 10. I'm going to guess they'd be higher than that. But again, a very nice customer, not one of the largest, but longstanding and greatly appreciated.
Anything else about the recent visit or just trade in general?
Well, for trade in general, if you're not familiar with our program here, this is sort of the beginning of our trade team season. So in a typical year, we'll host a dozen to 20 more groups like this. But they start coming in earnest during August because many of them want to come. They go out in the fields, actually measure off a square meter, count the soybean pods in that square meter, and they're actually trying to get a good estimate of how large the U.S. crop is going to be. They go not only to Minnesota, but other states as well. And they're basically trying to, you know, guess ahead of time and determine how aggressive they should be as far as pricing soybeans when buying from us. And we love to host them because, of course, anything to improve transparency, keep good relations, et cetera, we feel is going to, you know, free markets will then rule as much as they can. And we'll get the highest possible price with that transparency.
Do you anticipate this hosting season will look considerably different than others, just given all the trade uncertainty happening right now?
No, we really don't. A lot of these incoming trade teams had months ago had booked their travel arrangements. Quite a few of them are, after they come through Minnesota, will swing down and go to a big trade show that the U.S. soy industry does down in Kansas City. So that's toward the end of August. We know that they're already booked for those, again, through decades of relationships with most of those overseas soy organizations. They have assured us they're not deterred, you know, by the current trade spats and trade negotiations. And if I could sound a positive note, I haven't read a lot of details, but there was something released, I think, yesterday, where it sounded like the trade spat with Europe, tariffs, et cetera, has been put on hold now. And I believe both sides were saying optimistic things as far as coming to an agreement, both to increase European buying of exports from the United States. So maybe that's a good sign.